I want to just start by acknowledging the territory that we're on today. On behalf of the Salt Spring Library, we're acknowledging the unceded territory and ancestors of Salt Spring Island, the Coast Salish First Nations peoples of Salt Spring, and surrounding areas who continue to use and steward these lands. And also to acknowledge everyone for coming out to this meeting of poets of the Cascadian Subduction Zone, a meeting of poets from both sides of an unnatural border, but the same bioregion. So we have one poet reading from as far south as California, a group of visitors from Seattle, three from Salt Spring, and three of us from Vancouver Island. There are nine of us reading, and we will have a little bio break in the middle of this, just a 3-minute break, and each poet is going to be introduced by another one of the poets. So we're going to start today with Brian Day, who is a Salt Spring poet, and who is approaching his 5th anniversary of living on Salt Spring. He hosts the Salt Spring Island Public Library's poetry open mic, and does storytelling in schools, and he's drawn to writing poems that include stories. So if everyone could please welcome Brian Day.
Thank you, Adelia. A couple of poems I'd like to read out both have to do with the early evolution of the universe and overlay some stories on those. So the first one is looking at the emergence of insects in the early world and overlaying that with a vision of the Jewish prophet Ezekiel. So Ezekiel's vision of insects. As the land unfurled its lush invitation, sea creatures listened with hunger and trembling, emerged from the rocking black of the ocean, hurled themselves out and clung to land, found solidity beneath incipient feet, mastered the airy mechanics of breath, poured themselves forward to unclaimed space. They learned to live in the lavish leaves, to leap and suspend themselves on air, extending the dreamlike gauze of wings. Here was the skir of a further revelation, the living lightning of insects soaring through a vault that still exceeded them, sailing as wind and spirit carried them, spelling the spontaneous wonderment of flight, and inscribing the first divine letters on air. With the manifold wings and the voluble and wearying mouths of angels, insects were that hectic, triumphant, incessant, profuse in their praise. In their multitude was the rumble of mighty waters. The whirling, chimerical creatures glimpsed by Ezekiel, they flaunted the sheen, the tremor, the rippling scintillation, brashness of bronze, the flow and honeyed heat of amber. They steered their fierce bright vehicles of flame, bearing the coals, the embers of their forging, the polish of wheeling iridescent geometries, sparkling with every sharp color of ice, their chips of sapphire chiseling the sky. They faced at once in every direction, and their eyes, that glittering clockwork, spun, gyred, swiveled as wheel within wheel, kaleidoscoped the colors of the great given world. Crafted of lapis, topaz, emerald, of all the stones that studded the sky, they were brooches pinned to the flesh of the air. And the next poem is about the emergence of amphibians and overlays on top of that the story of Aeneas and the golden bough, which allows him to travel to another world, the underworld. Aeneas and amphibians cross between worlds. And again among the denizens of ocean, there stirred a wish to transgress the threshold of sea. There was bubbling in the muck and at the murk of the verges. There was again a wish for some new means of breathing, for bodies reordered in their respiring cores. A new thought crept across a page of the brain, of breathing in that drowning element where the world that forbade them opened its arms. A face peeked above the still surface of water, a fish, a transitional fish, an amphibian, a stumbler with fins becoming feet, an unthing, half-lunged, half-footed creature that hauled itself on stumps up weed-slimed rocks. This team of pioneers invented a doubleness of breath, of gills and lungs, turning the world several clicks of the compass. Flesh lanced and renamed and made spacious with air. These mer-creatures clung to the edges of wet, lured by the smorgasbord of insects before them, that tantalizing banquet draped to the horizon. The ears of Aeneas have tremored with the news of that secret transporting bow of gold. It has glistened before him in Sybil's breath, in memory of dream and dream beneath dream. Its leaves are as much his own as his eyelids, the bow embossed in fire on his brain. The bearer of the bow the Sybil has encanted may pass and return through the turnstile of death. Aeneas knows that he from his birth is the one cast as its bearer, glides through the auroral stillness of the forest, and there, alluring, unmistakable, pristine, radiant as dreamlight, the bow. And it, in courtesy, extends itself toward him. He holds the golden ticket of transgression, the charter that unlatches a barred and guarded world. It is given to him to be this liminal figure, to know the shades pouring their wisdom to his ears. The gatekeepers, unsurprised, nod at Aeneas, wave him into this dim, penumbral light, admit him as if he were not himself. Eyes playing at the film between the worlds, he strides with a gasp to now breathable air, steps with fleshed feet to Elysian fields. Thank you.